It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Dave Anthony. Today, Russia's war on Ukraine. It's been going on for more than 7 months, and it escalated this past week with a bombardment of Russian missile strikes and bombings across Ukraine. The attacks went after infrastructure, like power and water services, and also residential areas, causing more than 100 Ukrainian casualties, all in retaliation for the bombing of a bridge connecting Russia to Crimea, a region it took control of from Ukraine 8 years ago. This comes at a time when Ukraine has been scoring victories on the battlefield in a military counteroffensive, taking back villages and towns Russian forces had captured earlier in the invasion. We talked about all that and Russia's threats to use nuclear weapons with retired General Jack Keane. He has been following this conflict from the start as chairman of the Institute for the Study of War and a Fox News senior strategic analyst. We covered so much in the conversation, we had to leave some of it out in the rundown segment the other day. Well, today, we have put it back in. You get all of it. As always, thank you for listening. We hope you are enjoying your weekend. And now, General Jack Keane on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Joining us again on the Fox News Rundown is General Jack Keane, a retired four-star general, former vice chief of staff of the U.S. Army, chairman of the Institute for the Study of War, Fox News senior strategic analyst. Obviously, a lot to get into with Russia and Ukraine. General, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, delighted to be here. Thank you.
We have had, over the last couple of days, this bombardment, a new one from the Russian air. Missile strikes, these things that are called suicide drones, bombings across Ukraine, taking out energy, hitting civilian residential areas, killing people. This probably not a surprise to you, the latest from Russia, correct?
Yeah, not really, because for 8 months, Putin and his generals have been trying to defeat the Ukraine army, and they have failed miserably at it. And now they're resorting to defeat the Ukrainian people. And that's what we have seen, certainly with the massive attack yesterday, followed up by another attack today, not as the same scale. But it actually began about 7 to 10 days ago, the focus on the civilian population and also the focus on the energy sector to try to bring the electric grid down and also interrupt the gas supply. So that the Ukrainian people, as winter approaches and it starts to embed itself in their society, that they suffer quite a bit. This is all an attempt by Putin to break the will of the Ukrainian people, something he has always adopted as an objective for his military force. You know, they have two major objectives. One is to defeat the Ukrainian military and occupy and absorb Ukraine as a country into Russia. The second objective to the military is to defeat the Ukrainian people, to break their will, and force Zelensky to surrender as a result of that.
Trying to do this. General, you talked about doing this before winter. The invasion started during the last winter. Why would it have taken this long to go after these particular energy sectors, gas lines? Wouldn't you have assumed they would start with that right away back then?
Yeah, well, then they were also attempting to defeat a deployed Ukrainian military. So the focus was clearly on that. A very distant secondary effort was to deal with the grid and the population itself. After all, they thought that once they introduced their artillery into the Donbass region and they had some success with it, they actually believed that they were going to be able to roll up the rest of the South and be able to fulfill their occupation. But what happened to them is they took so many casualties just taking the eastern part of the Donbass region. Some of that they have just lost within the last week or so, by the way. And they took significant casualties, so much so that their operational forces were ground to a halt. And then the Ukrainians exploited that advantage by conducting their counteroffensive. So that is where Putin is now. He knows that the forces he has deployed in Ukraine are insufficient to be able to dominate and take control of Ukraine's military and its territory. And that is why he's gone to a mobilization. He actually wants to double the amount of forces in Ukraine. It's around 200,000. And remember, he's had 25,000 killed, 65,000 wounded during these 8 months. And obviously, there's been replenishment of those casualties that have taken place on the battlefield with people who are not as well trained and leaders who are not as good as they should be. And we've had major problems with leadership, obviously, in the Ukraine military. So he wants to stop the bleeding in terms of the offensive operations that Ukraine is talking to. And that's why he's trying to get these replacements in as quickly as he can. But when we analyze it at the Institute for the Study of War, while numbers will always help, and you can't be dismissive of the fact that if you bring in, you double the amount of forces, there's going to be some benefit to that. But in terms of effectiveness as a military organization, we don't see it as being decisive. And Russia will have the same problems going forward with the Ukraine military that they're having now.
Yeah, and you talked about mobilization. If he brings all these people into service, some have no training whatsoever, or they had fought years ago. Many of them don't want to go. There have been people who've left the country, fled, don't want to be, and there have been protests. I mean, this hasn't helped the Russian leader in his own country. He seems less popular. Am I wrong or right?
No, we're seeing some criticism of the operation on state-driven TV. It's focused on the Minister of Defense and the Department. Putin has authorized, I think, that obviously that narrative because he wants to deflect it from himself. The Russian people obviously know now things are not going well in Ukraine. They may not know all the details that we do because they don't get a daily narrative of it. But they know things aren't going well, and that's why this mobilization is taking place. And they certainly are very much aware, anybody that has a young person in their family tree is very much aware of what has taken place, because young people are not only resisting, but they're fleeing the country. There's no army marching on Moscow here where the Ukrainians would rally around and fight with the kind of commitment that the Ukrainians have. That the Russians would do that. That's been their history. But to go to Ukraine, a country that they actually have a relationship with, the people that they actually like, and they go there to vacation at times, to get away from Russia, to go to Odessa or to Crimea. And now to have the young people in Russia go to Ukraine to risk their life, to kill Ukrainians, there is no stomach for that. You're absolutely right. So this force is going to show up with no commitment to deal with this. Remember, in the very beginning, the Russian military was very deceptive with their units about why they were mobilizing. They were told they were being mobilized for training purposes. They brought them out of the east. They spent days on rail cars getting all the way to western Russia and then down south. And when they showed up in Belarus, they did go into some training. And then they gave them real bullets and they sent them across the border. Many of them did not know they were going to war. And it's not surprising the pitiful results that came as a result of that.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God, worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Now, there was a New York Times story that talked about how hardliners in Russia, they applaud what Vladimir Putin has done the last couple of days, the strategy of going after residential areas. One of them was quoted as saying that we need to scare Ukrainians into submission. And really, in order to do that, you have to be really, really violent. But the president of Ukraine has shown month after month that he won't be intimidated. And that has led him, a lot of people in Ukraine have taken his example. Can Vladimir Putin do what he thinks he can do, scaring them?
No. He cannot defeat the will of the Ukrainian people. That is a fact. And to think that they're still trying it after 8 months just gives you a sense of how pitiful their ability to make assessments are and how poorly their intelligence system truly is. After all this time, if they don't understand the will of the Ukrainian people, they are fundamentally missing the basic point here. I spoke to the Ukrainian ambassador to the United States on Friday with her defense attaché. I just wanted to know, you know, what they really wanted so I could help them publicly, obviously on the air talking to you, but also dealing with government officials. And in that conversation, we got to talking about nuclear weapons and the potential and the rest of it. I think that potential is relatively low, by the way. But the ambassador spoke up and said, you know, even if a nuclear weapon was used in Ukraine, she said, we're not going to quit. We are going to continue to fight despite the casualties. We will not give up our land to the Russians. We will fight them to the end. And they're bound and determined here. And it's more than the leadership. I mean, give Zelensky all the credit he deserves. But the people at the local level fighting for their homes, their neighborhoods, their communities, their schools, their way of life, it is absolutely remarkable to see the courage that they have and how they stand up to the Russians.
Yeah, and Ukraine, that counteroffensive continues. They've taken back some villages, some towns in those regions that Russia annexed, claiming now it's part of Russia, which makes kind of an odd twist. I mean, Vladimir Putin could claim now that Ukraine's invading him, oddly.
Yeah, of course, that's what he wants people to think. I mean, you know, he suffered a significant military defeat as a result of the Ukrainian offensive operations. And to cover that up is this false narrative that we're annexing four territories inside of Ukraine. In other words, trying to tell the Russian population that we actually have gained a victory here. We have a political victory. He's certainly not discussing the fact that he actually suffered a military defeat. And in all four of those regions, as you noted, first of all, he doesn't own any single one of them completely. Number two, in two of them, the Ukrainians are taking territory from the Russians. And I can tell you for a fact, and it's well documented, that they're planning to conduct operations in a third, in Zaporizhia, where the famous nuclear plant is, and drive that operation all the way to the city of Mariupol, which they lost a few months ago. So, yes, they're planning even more significant counteroffensives, knowing full well that they've got the Russians back on their heels.
Of course, the U.S. is a big part of this. We have been sending money. We have been sending weapons, ammunition. And again, there was a new call Tuesday from the president of Ukraine urging the U.S. and our allies to send air defenses all. Some have questioned if the U.S. is doing too much and the allies not enough. What do you think?
Well, we're doing about 75% of it for sure, but we also have the most significant capacity by far. One of the things our audience likely doesn't understand is just how far the European military capability has atrophied. I mean, we're talking about France only having two divisions. We're talking about the Brits having one. The Germans have even less than that. And then the other militaries fall off as well. So the capacity isn't what it should be. But there is some fair criticism. The Germans and the French could considerably do more than what they're doing. The United Kingdom is punching above their weight. Poland is punching above their weight. The Baltics are doing the same. Romania is doing the same. The Norwegians are into this as well. But there's other countries, yes, particularly France and Germany, that could do more. But the United States, given the capacity that we have, would always be the predominant provider. And listen, so people understand, there's some that are saying, well, we're spending too much money. You know, we're up to around $17 billion or so. But a lot of that money is going to U.S. defense contractors to build these weapons. That's a fact. I mean, we're giving or the build replacements for the weapons that we've already given to the Ukrainians, and the defense and the money is going to defense contractors to build those weapons. So that's American jobs being executed someplace in the United States, depending on the company. And that's not really been brought out very clearly.
The G7, in the statement put out Tuesday, also said they would condemn the use of any biological, chemical, or nuclear weapon in this fight in Ukraine. Now, we've focused a lot lately on the nuclear threat. President Biden said last week we're closer to Armageddon now than we have been in 60 years since that Cuban Missile Crisis with the Soviet Union. Do you think the president is right? Was he right to say that?
Well, no, I don't think he was right to say it. I think as we've seen this president now, he's prone to exaggeration, and he has a tendency at times to dramatize things. I think at a fundraiser, I'm only speculating, but I think he was likely dramatizing the challenges of his presidency. He's at a fundraiser, and he wants their empathy and their support. I mean, if he was serious about Armageddon, then why is he not making a speech from the Oval Office about an existential threat to the United States that presidents have not faced in decades? And why is he not going to the Congress seeking legislative support, which would be overwhelmingly bipartisan, likely no one would oppose it, in condemning Russia's threat of using nuclear weapons, and also going to allies and partners and really solidifying the support against Putin? And even going to adversaries like China. China, I'm convinced of it. If Russia used a nuclear weapon in Ukraine, China would think that that is reckless. And it also impacts on them because they have three countries in their region that have the technology to develop nuclear weapons: Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. And China certainly is already facing down, who's surrounded by nuclear weapons, Russia's, India's, and the United States, to be specific, would not want countries, once a nuclear weapon is used and nuclear proliferation door is open, to be incentivized for their own self-preservation to develop nuclear weapons. So this, on the surface of it, doesn't make any sense, but you have to take it seriously. And I think the administration, I'll give them at face value, they have indicated they have talked to the Russian leaders and told them there would be catastrophic consequences, and they have spelled out what they are. And I'll take that as what they have done. Then the Russians' issue is, we know the United States has the capability to do that, and what we're likely talking about is an air and missile attack on Russian forces inside of Ukraine. They know we have that capability. They know NATO does. And the issue for them is, Is Biden believable? Is he credible in making that statement? And only the Russians know that in terms of what their belief system is. And that's why the president has got to show resolve and determination here and make certain the Russians understand it.
So you think Vladimir Putin, if he were to use some sort of a nuclear weapon, would be calculating that President Biden would still want not to have direct conflict with him?
That's correct. But I think his military generals would have a different viewpoint. They would likely come to the conclusion that the United States and NATO doesn't have any choice, even though they would rather not get involved in a conflict with Russia. They would not have any choice. The radiation is going to spread. Using a nuclear weapon inside of Europe is something that the United States and NATO could not ignore, because if they did, then Putin's got nuclear blackmail in his hip pocket. The pressure of Poland, the pressure of the Baltic states, to revive his entire campaign to get back the Soviet republics under the umbrella of the Russian Empire again. It would give him a hand to play, and I just don't think realistically that the United States and NATO could ever sit on their hands and ignore something like that.
General Jack Keane, retired four-star general, former vice chief of staff of the U.S. Army, chairman of the Institute for the Study of War, and Fox News senior strategic analyst. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Yeah, I'm delighted to be with you and your audience. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.